April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
This is the Go Birds Podcast.
Hello, it is the Go Birds Podcast presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Short Parks, James Seltzer coming to you after an incredibly frustrating Eagles loss. We'll dive into it all, but obviously one that, you know, felt like it was there to be had, and they weren't able to capitalize, execute, you know, play calling. We'll dive into it all. I just want to off the top just quickly. It hasn't been like officially, but you know, Derek Gunn seemed to have it first. Adam Schefter tweeting out, Brandon Graham, torn Achilles, done for the year. And yeah, I feel like I can't do anything else but just start quickly and just say what a unbelievably massive loss this is for the team, on so many levels. You know, obviously his production, but his leadership, that, you know, especially with this new staff, the whole thing, like, just felt like he was such an important part of this kind of turnaround. And obviously, as any listener of this pod knows, my all-time favorite Eagle, number one ever, without a doubt. And, you know, it sucks. It's a real gut punch for the season and long-term, because obviously it could be a career-ending type of thing with this type of injury at this age and all that. But, you know, just starting by saying, you know, we're thinking of you, Brandon. Get better soon, and legitimately love that guy. And you'll dive into it all. But Elliot, I felt like, kind of, you know, if we're gonna start off, we should start off with the single most important thing that happened today, and it wasn't losing a game to the Niners. It was the Brandon Graham injury.
Yeah, and what's interesting is not the right word, but what I find with these injuries is sometimes when they happen in the game, they get a little overshadowed in the fact that there was a lot. Like we're going to talk about the loss and the fact that they lost the game and how they lost and all those things. And then it's sometimes like the fact that a player is out for the season doesn't kind of set in until like Wednesday or Thursday or even like 2 weeks from now. And it's totally, like, oh yeah, that person's still out. So I think there's two different ways to look at it. To what you said, you know, I hadn't thought about career ending. I think it's maybe strong, but I don't know. I mean, he's old. It's a bad injury.
It's an Achilles. If it were an ACL, I wouldn't have. And look, it might not be. And I don't want to count Brandon out. And if he thinks he can play again, I believe in that dude to do whatever it takes. We've seen him come back from tough injuries before, obviously when he was way younger and all that. But, you know, you have to think it, right? An Achilles injury at that age, you know, it's tough. Yeah. It's a tough one, you know?
Yeah. And look, the players after the game were talking about it, and, you know, they talk about it in a, I was taken aback at how somber they were about it. You know, like, I knew that, I've covered the team. Brandon Graham's been on the team the whole time I've covered it. Like, I've seen what, you know, how much his teammates like him. I see the way he interacts with the media, just like all those things. He's been a captain. So, you know, I was aware of what a big loss it was for the team, but hearing the teammates talk about it, I think it's kind of a real like gut check moment for this team. You know, like, I don't want to, we'll talk about this a bit at the end of the pod. Like, I don't want to say the Cowboys game is like make or break, but you know, this was a bad loss. And then, you know, you lose Brandon Graham, potentially lose Brandon Brooks. Like, seasons could unravel quickly. And I recognize the irony in that, because in the last pod I was saying seasons can become special quickly, you know? So like, it is what it is.
And, no, it is. You're right. Like, football was, is really a week to week league, and it has been for a long time.
And I was going to start the pod, and I'm happy you started with talking about Brandon. But
I had to. You knew I had to. I mean, he's legitimately, yeah, I mean, that's your guy, like, yeah. I'm not, like, it's, Elliot knows, it's not hyperbole. He's literally my favorite Eagle of my lifetime. So, you know, yeah, it's what it is.
So I was going to start by saying, like, will I ever get anything right? Like, am I the dumbest guy to ever cover the Eagles? You know, so I'm well aware that after the, you know, the mini victory lap I took last week, that it didn't look great today. But the interesting thing, I guess you just kind of want to just dive into it now, just big picture thoughts about the loss.
Yeah, but hold on real quick, just to round out the Graham thing, and I'm sure it'll come up more, but just to get Brandon's tweet out there, I'm assuming you saw it, but your point of like how these things can be a gut check thing, like, at least from the Brandon perspective and Brandon tweeting out, we still about to shock the world. I will just be leading from the sidelines this year, working to be great for 2022. Appreciate all the love. And now is the time for guys to step it up. You have to find treasure in every situation. And obviously for him to have that mentality and that perspective at this point in injury where, you know, he hopes to be back, but who knows, like, is amazing. But also, like, I do think with this guy in this situation, like, he will be there and he will be a part of things. And, you know, you hope that maybe to your point, it can be a gut check for the good and not for the bad, where you obviously lose him on the field, but maybe he's a rallying cry. Maybe it's a do it for BG type of thing that does have motivation. So we'll see.
Yeah, but, you know, and I'm not trying to sound like I believe that. I do, and I do think he could be a rallying cry for sure, but it's just not the same as when a guy's on the field. You know, like, he can be a leader, and, you know, Brandon is a different type of personality, so maybe. But it's just, it's a huge loss. Like, it's a huge loss on the field, but it is a huge loss off the field because there's just a difference. I mean, you know, I hate to always bring up Carson, but he's the main person that's happened over the last few years. Like, when Carson went down in 2017, he was still around the team. People talked about him like a leader. But, like, that's when Foles started taking over the team because Foles was on the field. You know, like, Foles was in the games. And so I just think that I'm sure Brandon will do the things that everything he can to remain, you know, part of the team. And I'm sure he'll be on the sideline once he's allowed to be and all those things. But it's just not the same. So it's just it's a huge loss for the team.
Yeah, it really is. And again, for the fan base, for everything, I mean, you know, there. And I do think to your point about how somber it was and it's surprising, I think it's because of just who this guy is, like how infectious his personality is, how much he's grown into the leader role, how much he matters to everyone there. And then, you know, to this fan base, to everybody. I mean, he has the single biggest play in the history of the franchise. Like, everyone to parse out like importance of stuff like, there's one play that's the single biggest in the history of the franchise, and that dude's the one who made it. Like, he's always going to have that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a big one. It's a big one. All right, let's get into the game itself. Like you said, just dive in. Obviously, I think, you know, in a macro sense, as I mentioned in the beginning, drink.
Yeah, I was going to say macro.
Yeah. The you know, it felt like a game.
Hold on, quick timeout. I actually thought the funniest phrase that you could say that would be so on brand would be like, in a macro sense, you know, I believe cliches are cliches for a reason. And I think I think above the shoulders is what matters for a quarterback. Like, well, one day, I really hope things. You say those words.
Well, when the opportunity comes, get ready, because I'm going to blow you all off right. Your knock your socks off. How about that? But yeah, you know, I think in a macro sense, to me, it felt like a game of missed opportunities early that ultimately spiraled away from them in the end. And a lack of execution and a tough day for Nick, which we expected, right? Some tough days for him along the way.
Yeah, you expected it for sure.
Yeah, I said I thought he might lose him a game or two along the way because he's a brand new coach to this. Like, I can't. And same thing with Jalen. Like, I expect these guys to. That's what I was talking about last pod with the dichotomy of Jalen Hurts. Now he's this 23-year-old kid who's playing for his career right now, but is also, you know, 23 and doesn't have a ton of NFL experience and all that. So it's like a tough spot, and you know, you deserve to grow in this stuff, but sometimes the league doesn't let you. What were your overall takeaways from today, and then we'll obviously dive into some of the specific stuff?
Yeah, I think if you're Jeffrey Lurie, if you're Howie, you know, I mean, if you're just Eagles fans, like, watching that game, I think the thing that was that had to be most frustrating about it was they didn't get outplayed. Like, there are going to be weeks, to your point, and, you know, last week was my kind of mini victory lap. Like, today, you were right. Like, Sirianni cost him that game because he's a new head coach, like, flat out, right? But before we get into that, like, they were not outplayed by the 49ers. Like, this was not a game where Jalen Hurts had, you know, three interceptions or the defense was really bad or something like that. Like, there are going to be weeks like that. Like,
the defense was great, by the way.
Yeah,
for the most part. Like, obviously a couple spots, but the defense was great.
I mean, you figure the first 2 weeks of defense giving up 6 points and 17 points. Like, yeah, there are going to be weeks where the defense gives up in the 20s, like, for sure, right? Like, there's going to be weeks where they give up in the 30s. There's going to be weeks where Jalen Hurts is really bad. Like, Jalen Hurts was not really bad today. So the fact that the defense was really good, the fact that I thought Jalen Hurts, and we'll have a longer discussion about him, but he wasn't, like, bad or at least terrible. Like, we can parse where he falls on the scale, but he wasn't a detriment to them, I didn't think. So, like, this was a game they should have won. It was at home. They have so many chances in the game to go up early. Like, they have the 91-yard completion to Quez Watkins. Like, he's caught from behind, which, look, I get as a human, it's super hard to run really fast for, like, 80 yards, but I'm also, like, your whole thing is speed. I like, to get caught from behind, like,
well,
it is what it is.
Well, and also, I tweeted at the moment, obviously, afterwards, you know, people, you know, were talking about it too, but the idea that a 91-yard play wasn't a touchdown, I mean, I'm guessing that can't have happened that many times in NFL history. Like they said in the broadcast, you're obviously at the game, but they said in the broadcast, longest play in the NFL this season, that 91-yarder,
right,
not a touchdown. It's just weird. You know, it's a weird one.
So that sequence of plays, which lost them the game. Like, that sequence of plays lost them
the
game.
No doubt.
So the first one, first you get a penalty, which at the time you're watching it and you're like, okay, well, they're definitely going to score. So, like, that's silly, but whatever. But they get the penalty. And then they get the, I thought, like, not a super great call in the end zone on the interference. Like, I guess you could have called it, but I didn't think it was, like, an egregious foul. So then they get first and goal at the one. And it's just a disaster from there. Like, how do you not just sneak that in with Jalen Hurts? Like,
this is where I thought. That was my first thought, dude. My first. And yeah, it looked like they tried to, and then they got the penalty, and then, like, ah.
Yeah, I mean, this is where I thought Sirianni was at his worst. Like, don't get too cute. Like, you have a mobile quarterback. Just run him in. Run him in a few times, right? Like, and then also the offensive line, the fact that they ran it with Miles Sanders once and they didn't get in there. Like, that's not a good look either. So, you know, there's just so many opportunities you can waste away. Like, let's say they should have scored a touchdown there. That's 7 points. The touchdown to Jalen Reagor, there's another seven. The blocked field goal, that's potentially another three. Like, they could have been up in this game, like, 17-0. Like, it's not crazy to think that could have been the case. But against a team that, and the Niners, I still don't think are that good, but against a team that is at least, you know, decent. I mean, look, they're 2-0 now. You can only
do this for
so long.
And they're way
long.
Better than the Falcons, even though the Falcons are hanging with the Bucks right now.
I was going to say, the Falcons, yeah, the Falcons are hanging with the Bucks. But I didn't think the Niners looked that good. But
no.
Regardless, like, you can only let teams hang around for so long until it comes back to kill you. And I think that's, you know, whatever you think the Eagles are going to finish, like, you have them more 8 or 9 wins, 7, 8, 9 wins, whatever. I have them at, you know, not, you know, 10, 11 wins, like, 9 type of thing. Like, these are the games that come back at the end of the season where you go, okay, they're 2 games back because they lost this very winnable game to the Niners. Like, it was a very winnable game, and they blew it. Like, and when I say they, I mean Sirianni. Like, I didn't think his game plan coming in was very good. I didn't like how much they ran it early on. I mean, that's a weak Niner secondary there. Like, go take advantage of it. I didn't like the play calling. I wasn't, you know, he was not as aggressive on fourth down today, which I was okay with, but it was a big shift from last week. Like, it just was not a good showing from Sirianni. The play on 3rd and 6 where it was the first drive, 3rd and 6, he runs Miles Sanders up the middle. Like,
you literally read my mind. That's why you're the best in the business. I was going to say, let's talk about Hurts in a minute. We need to start with the person who shares the most blame or holds the most blame for today's loss, and that was Nick Sirianni. And again, there's blame to go around, but I mean, Sirianni had a bad day, like, flat. And like I told you, I mean, we talked about this heading into the season, is that was part of the reason I was on the lower end of the projections compared to you, in that I expected Sirianni to just have some rough days, and that you know how much I believed in him. I mean, we kind of argued about how much I believed in Nick Sirianni. It was like, you know,
yeah.
But I knew that he's going to have these type of games. He's a first-time head coach, much less NFL head coach. Like, it's there's so much going on in these games. There's so many decisions to be made, and there's so many play calls to be made, and it's just – it's tough, man, and you need experience. And his first game went perfectly, and his game plan was perfect, and he read it right, and this one he didn't, you know? And he came in, to your point, with a bad game plan, and maybe some of those were Hurts decisions with the ride and decide at certain times where they yeah. ran the ball a little too much and whatnot. I'm sure that's a possibility. But you know, even Sirianni took it on the chest. He was like, you know, I wasn't good enough. And to your point, particularly in the red zone, like just particularly. And I had no problem with them going for that fourth down in that spot we were just talking about. And I like the idea of a trick play. Like, I think, you know, I have no problem with you know, throwing, you know, earmuff shit at a wall in that type of situation, really trying to come up with something that, I mean, look, the Eagles did it in the Super Bowl and it worked. So I'm good with it. It just, they didn't execute. And other than that, like the entire game plan was, again, to your point, just so many runs coming into a game where you knew that Niners secondary was deficient and you knew you had some mismatches, some opportunities, and Jalen didn't come out throwing the ball well. He missed some early throws, a couple, you know, kind of a little soft throwing into a couple holes and a couple short deep balls, but eventually found his kind of groove there, and I think that they should have been airing it out more. Like, I just, Elliot, I didn't understand the game plan, and I didn't understand the in-moment decisions. It just felt, and again, to your point, particularly in the red zone, like disastrous play calling in the red zone, and that's what lost them the game. Again, to your point, who knows how this game plays out if they're up 17-0 or 17-7 at the end of the first half instead of down 7-3, and then they come out beginning of the second half with that drive, and it's nothing, and it's like it was over, it felt like, and I know they fought back at the end, but it was over, and... Yeah. It's just, I think, and we'll get to Hurts in a sec, but I think this game, Nick Sirianni is the biggest reason they lost this game today.
Well, what's interesting that you said is, you know, there's a lot of blame to go around, and I mean, I guess, but...
There is, man. They didn't execute well either. They didn't execute well either. There were certain spots, like, you can kind of spread it around, but I mean, yeah, Jalen wasn't great today. I thought Jalen was okay. I thought he had some nice moments. But, I mean, he wasn't great. He had some throws that he missed. He underthrew some balls, you know, kind of couldn't get into some tight windows. So, you know, I didn't think Jalen was great today. I thought he was okay. I thought Sirianni was worse, but I do think they executed poorly as well in certain spots, certainly offensively. The defense, well, I got very few bad things. They had two drives, essentially. I have very few bad things to say about the defense.
Yeah, and even the drives they let up were like 12 and 15 plays.
They were huge, you know, drives. Like they got worn down. It happens, you know. And the Niners have good playmakers. And Kyle Shanahan, like, you know, he's going to get a couple. They held them to freaking 17 points. Like, it's not their fault.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we talk about Jalen, I want you to let me know if you think I'm being too soft on him. And I think there's an interesting conversation to be had about, like, how would we discuss this game if Carson played it? But let's, before we get to that, like, you said that you were okay with the trick play on fourth down. You know, whenever you're a play caller, like if the Philly special didn't work in the Super Bowl, we would look at it as one of the all-time dumb calls, right? Because it's like, what are you doing? You know, but like it worked. So it's an all-time great call. And so, yeah, if it worked today, I think everybody would be saying, you know, like, oh man, like that's Sirianni. He's an aggressive play caller. Like, look how well coached they were to do that, blah, blah. But like, I didn't like the decision to go with a trick play there. And again, with the caveat of knowing, if it worked, we'd be on here saying what a great call it was. But like you've already tried to, you know, like you've already passed over the obvious thing a few times. And I know when you're on the third or four, you can't really like, you can't run a quarterback sneak, but like run a quarterback draw, like just roll Jalen out. Like, I don't know. I thought it was getting too cute. And then also Greg Ward, like, why do you just throw it out of bounds? Like, I was surprised.
If nothing else, it's fourth down. Take a shot. Like, I know you're trying to, like, what are you doing? Like, just throw it into tight coverage. Like, that was the weirdest.
Yeah, like, what are you worrying about your passer rating?
So with you. So with you. And look, I'm with you. Like, look, if that's on Sirianni in the sense that they look like, as soon as the play happened, it felt like they had no chance to execute it properly, and that's on execution. But I like the concept of in that situation, again, because we've seen it work. But I agree, yeah. They just executed it poorly. But let's get to Hurts, because we both agree Sirianni had a bad day and a bad game on multiple levels. And also, real quick, before we get off Sirianni, the timeout usage at the end was really weird. Like, I've never seen a coach do that, and I don't know if there's some analytical thing that maybe that was Eagles-driven.
Well, he was asked
after the game
about
it. Yeah. Can you explain it to me real quick, and then we'll move on to Hurts, because that was really weird to me. And it left them in a spot at the end where they were able to finish the clock at. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say I could read his answer.
Yeah, go for it. Sure.
All right, let me pull it up. I know who asked it. Okay. All right, so the question was, what information supported taking timeouts before 5 minutes left in the game? Here's what he said. Sirianni, we were down 2 scores, and we wanted to make sure that we had enough time to score fast and get another possession. I thought we did a good job. Jalen did a great job on that drive getting us into the end zone fast. So it's just saving enough time to put yourself in a position to have 2 possessions. I would do that again every day the way we did it. I know obviously we want to get a stop on defense to get the ball back, but give them credit. I thought that was a good call by Kyle on the pass to get it to 3rd and 1, and then they converted. So I think his logic is somewhat good, but the flaw in it is, I mean, the offense
can't worry about
quickly,
two possessions. Yeah, exactly. You need to, like, I mean, you have to get two, and not, you can't worry about two possessions, but you can't, like, you can't put yourself in a situation where you don't have any outs left. Like, yeah, an onside kick might not be a good out, but it's an out. You know, like,
now, I will say, like, the 2nd and 9 pass they gave up, like, that is on the defense. Like,
tough.
If they stop them there,
I agree.
You know.
It's a whole different situation. And who knows? You save more time, gives you more time to operate. I get it. Look, I'm not killing it. It was just strange. But let's get to Hurts, because I think you might be a little light on Hurts. Look, I know the offensive line let him down at certain spots today. And I know that, you know, I think Sirianni let him down a lot of spots. But I certainly didn't. I didn't think Hurts was bad today. Look, he didn't make any mistakes. He didn't turn the ball over. He didn't do anything where it was like lost them the game. But I didn't think he was great. I didn't think he won them, you know, had a chance to help win them the game in any real spots. He missed some throws. He made some nice reads. And I thought he was solid.
So where I disagree with you slightly, so actually maybe I don't, because I think solid is a pretty good way,
you know,
to put
maybe
it.
I would say like slightly less than solid. I would go more on the negative side than positive side of solid, but like around solid. You know, I mean, I'm certainly, you know, he wasn't good.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Well, I think what's interesting about Jalen, the more we watch him is, and it's only been six or seven starts, and I think that certainly factors into how you grade him. But like, he doesn't let the game get away from him. Like, he's very, and it's kind of like his personality in the way that, you know, he's not too high, not too low. And just like he, you know, he didn't have any turnovers today, right? Like that could have made things go super ugly. Like if Carson was a quarterback, Carson's definitely turning the ball over today. And then, you know, then it's 24-3 instead of 17, you know, like whatever, right? So the fact that he didn't turn it over, I thought was obviously very good. I thought he did make some really good throws. Like the throw to Quez Watkins was really good. The throw to Jalen Reagor was really good. The throw to Goddard at the end of the game to get them to like the 2 was a really good throw. The 40-yard pass to Quez Watkins was a really good throw. So I think there were a lot of positives, but ultimately where I kind of, you know, don't give him a B or whatever is that they only scored 3 points and you're the quarterback. Like, and that falls
well,
on
they
you.
They got 11.
Sorry. Yeah, my bad. 11. Right. They got 11
but
points.
But either way, not enough. Like to my point before, if your defense holds that Niners team to 17 points, you should win that game.
Absolutely. Now this is what I think ties into Sirianni too, though. Like, and who knows, maybe Jalen checked out of the plays, but like they did run it a lot, you know,
they
like
did.
They kind of,
and I'm with you again. I can't defend it again. We don't know what was whose decision, but like, I definitely felt like, and again, you know, I'm all in on Hurts. This game does not change my opinion of the guy. But, you know, going up against a secondary like we talked about, it felt like there were throws left on the field. It felt like there were a couple spots where he had open receivers and either underthrew it or didn't kind of zip the ball in there quite enough. And again, I'm not killing him for it, but I didn't think he was great. I thought he was, you know, okay today.
So I think after each game, maybe we'll have to do this, like, because maybe the Eagles are doing it too. Like, we have to ask ourselves, do you feel better or worse about Hurts? And I don't know what my answer would be to that about after this game, because on one hand, you know, they did only score 11 points, but like that drive to get the touchdown at the end was like pretty much all him. You know, he just like ran the ball the whole way down the field, and then he had the nice throw. And then, you know, like I said, he did have those nice moments. So on some ways, I feel if I had to pick like one or the other, I would almost pick better, just because I did think he threw the ball well, and I do think the play calling was the main issue. So I don't know. Like, but then to what I said earlier in the pod, like if Carson played this game, how would I grade him? But like Carson was also a fifth-year quarterback, so I think that matters too, you know?
Oh, it absolutely does. And that was my point. That's why I wouldn't say like I don't feel like – I certainly don't feel better about Jalen after this game, but I don't feel like much worse. Like, I don't feel like – you know, it's like, again, my point was I'm not killing him for this. Like, I think he's 23 years old, and it's his 6th start in the NFL, you know? And it's against a smart team, a team that's talented. I mean, there are guys on that defense, like, even though the secondary is beat up, like, I mean, Nick Bosa is a high-level NFL player. I always talk about blue-chip guys. Like, Nick Bosa is a blue-chip player. D Ford is maybe not blue-chip, but close to blue-chip. Fred Warner is a blue-chip player. I mean, Tart yep. is a very good player. I mean, they have good players. So it's not like this was like some scrub defense. I just think that, you know, call it like I see it. I thought Jalen was okay today. You know,
what's crazy is they did move the ball against them.
They did. And one again, but you have to convert. You have to be able to,
yeah,
and
sure.
especially in the first half. I mean, you have the ball twice inside the 5 yard line. You don't get a touchdown out of either of those. I mean, that's a point out of either. Of those. I mean, that's tough. That's
no,
tough
for sure.
stuff.
Yep.
So, and I think that has to come back to Jalen on a certain level. All right, let's get to some of the other stuff that kind of, unless you have anything else on Jalen before we move on.
Well, I guess just my thing would be like, so do you feel better or worse? Like, you know, go one way.
If I had to choose one, I would say like this 0.01% worse. But I feel the same.
Okay, so you're basically at like 50-50.
Yeah.
Like you're down the middle.
No,
yeah.
I believe in Jalen.
On the game, it didn't change you one way or the other.
No, that's my point. Again, like yeah. I'm not going to, again, while I understand that his career's on the line, like I've talked about many times, like I still understand that he's 23 years old and it's a 6-start and, you know, his coach sucked today, and, like, there's a lot of, you know, I need to see him play more games than this. But I am in on Jalen Hurts. I think he's got it, and I don't know if he'll end up being great, but I think he's an NFL starting quarterback for sure, and I think he has a chance to be a great one, you know? So, you know, I'm not going to let a game like this, you know, change my opinion based on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yep, that's where I'm at.
All right, let's stick with the offense, and then we'll talk defense. But a few guys who kind of flashed in different ways today. Tough day for Devontae, just seemed to always kind of get some short throws, some difficult spots. But Quez, obviously the huge play. And Rager, you know, the good and the bad, right? Got open, made that catch. But, you know, as Nick Sirianni talked about, you know, technique, you know, was in a position where you get pushed out of bounds, and that kind of comes back to bite him. What were your thoughts on the wide receivers as a whole today?
So first, like, that rule is dumb. Like, we talk a lot about
Always hated it.
Yeah, like the rule where if you fumble it out of bounds, the other team gets a ball, like that's a dumb rule. Like, there should be much more of a spirit of the rule with this where, like, your whole body has to be out of bounds or, like, both feet, you know, like that type of thing. Like, that, like, the half of his foot touched out of bounds twice, you know, like, I don't know. I think it just, in general, it's a dumb rule. But I thought that was still a good play from Rager. The coaching point on that clearly is you got to keep your feet in bounds, but he fought through, he made the catch. And, you know, I thought for Rager, that was a positive. Quez Watkins obviously had a great game. They should really target him deep more. Like, he's a legit, deep threat.
He has to be Devontae Smith is, we both think, going to be a star, but it's not like this offense. And I like the pieces more than I thought I would, but they don't have like dynamic athletic threats on this offense that much. Quez is that.
Yeah, agreed. Now, on some of the deep stuff, and this is kind of getting back to Jalen a little, but people are saying their balls were underthrown. I guess they were, but like on the one to Devontae, he got hit as he threw it for sure. And then the other one, I guess he could have set his feet and thrown it better. So that one was underthrown too. But you know, it seemed like they were getting open, right? Like Rager had a step on the one deep pass. There was a throw that Jalen Hurts made that I thought Rager could have gone up for it more. There were two, actually. There was the one deep down the field that I thought he could have gone up for it, and he didn't. And then there was one along the sideline where Hurts threw it, and it looked like Rager wasn't expecting it, and he just kind of, like, stopped running. Do you remember this play I'm talking about?
Vaguely,
It was in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that the receivers were fine overall. One thing I was surprised at was, like, the tight ends weren't very involved.
Like, that's what I was going to get to next. Yeah, like, neither of them. Like, I think Goddard had one catch, and I don't know if Hurts had any.
Yeah, and then, well, I mean, Goddard had the one at the end, and then, Ertz had the target, I guess, in the end zone, if I'm not mistaken, on the on that fatal, you know, red zone series. But, yeah, I mean, the offense just overall, like, after the Atlanta game where it looked like they had such a concise plan on what they wanted to do, it was not that today. I think it was a combination of coming in, the game plan wasn't good, and then it was also poorly executed on the fly. And going into this game, I said I thought that if they played poorly, it would be because of Jalen and not because of Sirianni, and I was wrong. You know, like, it was because of Sirianni, and Jalen holds his blame, but it was definitely Sirianni.
All right, quickly, you know, not much to say about the running game. I think it was more, you know, it was fine. I thought Miles had some nice runs. I thought they ran it too much. Gainwell, obviously, is, you know, they no Boston Scott again, I think is interesting to say. But,
yeah.
Offensive line-wise, the Brooks injury, what you saw from Dickerson, guys, obviously I don't want him to have to play because of injuries, but I thought, at least from what I saw, it looked like Leonard Dickerson did a really nice job in the little bit I saw from him, or a little bit I paid attention to. But, you know, obviously the injury to Brooks. What's your read on the Brooks thing and what you saw from, you know,
so,
Landon?
Yeah, it seems like Brooks going to be out, I would say, you know, quite a bit. Like, it's a pec injury, and it's either going to be a strain or a tear, and we'll probably find out more about that on Monday. But my guess is Dickerson plays at least next week against Dallas. And it's hard to tell, you know, with any offensive lineman live. Like, normally, if you can tell how an offensive lineman's playing live, that means they're having, like, a terrible game. And I didn't think Dickerson really stood out, and that's probably positive for a guard. I didn't think the overall line play got worse when Dickerson was in there as opposed to Brooks. So I would say overall probably a net positive this week. Lane Johnson talked about it, that this week Lane will get targets. I mean, not targets. Lane will get reps with him, you know, in practice. So that'll make things better. But yeah, I mean, I think this is, look, it's a big moment for Dickerson. And I talked about it with Ike, and I think I brought it up on the radio show with you. Like, you know, we'll see. Like, if Dickerson plays really well, I don't think it's like a guarantee that they're just going to throw Brooks back out there. Like, whether or not right decision, wrong decision, whatever, like, if Dickerson's playing really well, I think they might just keep him out there. So this is a, you know, it's a big stretch for him.
No, it's a really fascinating point. And obviously it depends on how long Brooks is out and all that stuff. But I don't know. I think, you know, I'm obviously upset that Brooks is hurt, but I'm excited to see Dickerson play. I'm obviously, you know, we joke around and stuff, but I love that pick. Like, I and we argued about it in the moment, and I just thought this kid was special, and I thought that, you know, for that value, where I know the injuries are a thing, but you know, for that guy at that spot, it felt like he could be getting a really special player at a real value, and I'm excited to see what he has. So yeah, I think it's gonna be fascinating to see the way that plays out. All right, let's flip to the defensive side of the ball. And again, just the two injuries in general, to lose Brooks and Graham, obviously, in the same game is tough. But and obviously you can't replace, you know, the leadership, the importance, the chemistry on the offensive line, all that. And certainly with BG, the, you know, what he means to everybody in the team and the franchise. But, you know, as we've talked about so many times, if you had to pick a spot to lose a player from, it's the two lines. Like, that's the spot where they are the deepest. Which brings me to Derek. Earmuffs, stop fucking making stupid fucking plays, stupid penalties in big spots of games, Derek, because you're not, like, the worst player ever, but you keep doing this dumb shit. Okay, I'm done. Like, but seriously, like, so Derek Barnett obviously is going to be a far more important part of this team, Elliot. What do you see about replacing Graham there and the Barnett thing?
Yeah, well, you're right about Barnett, first
of all.
I mean,
seriously, like, dude. That was so dumb. Like, so dumb.
I mean, the interesting thing about Barnett is, if you had to, like, say over the last two seasons, what do you remember most about him? I think it would be the penalties. Like,
there's
the hit
no
against
question.
Green Bay.
Elliot,
you know, the hit against Green Bay that he had, the hits today. Like, it's just, like, it's pointless. Like, the one he does today where he just runs up and hits the running back. Like, it's brutal. I mean, look, there's probably a reason they extended Josh Sweat and not him. You know, I mean, like,
yeah. And I mean, I think Josh Sweat's more talented, too, at least as a pass rusher. But yes,
made a nice rush
for
today.
Sure. I think there's no question, you know?
Yeah, so, and, you know, you're right that if you had to pick a position, like, end's probably it. But, you know, the depth only goes so far. Like, yep. Brandon Graham's a very good player. So I guess now you're probably going to see more of Kerrigan, more of Sweat, more of Barnett. I mean, maybe Milton Williams, you know, plays outside a little bit more. But, yeah, I mean, it's a big loss. Teron Jackson, the rookie, I guess, is going to get out there. But overall, I mean, you know, and we don't have to have the Kyle Shanahan debate again. But, like, The defense, I thought, won the day against the 49ers offense. Like, they shut them down. And even when the Niners got stuff going, it wasn't easy. It wasn't like 3-4, you know, drive plays where they were just getting down the field and guys were wide open. Like, they had the big play to Debo Samuels that, you know, I think it was at the end of the first half that clearly was, you know, a breakdown and a good play by the Niners. But outside of that, it was kind of like dinking and dunking. It was converting third downs. They got them into a lot of third downs. I mean, at the first two drives, they had them into like a 3rd and 10 and a 3rd and 14. Overall, the Niners 6 of 14 on third down, so a little less than 50%. 306 total yards. Eagles actually ended up with more yards than they did. I mean, the Niners ran 68 plays. Like, they really had to work for every yard they got. And yeah, so through two games, the defense has only given up 24 points, 23 points, something like that. So. I mean, the defense played well enough to win, and it's just hard when the offense is giving you so little to continually not give up these points. And the fact they only ended up giving up 17, I thought, was big. What did you think of the play with the fumble with Kayvon Wallace? And,
yeah, that, you know, kind of sucks. Like, I get it, but, like, it didn't look like he was leading with his head. It just looked like he put his head down, and, like, the guy kind of dove into it. But, like, whatever. Kayvon had some – I like the kind of energy he plays with. He plays with some fire, but – I think, honestly, for me, defensively, I thought, you know, at times the D-line struggled today. I thought Javon Hargrave was unbelievable. Like, you called it early on.
I mean,
yeah, and obviously he wasn't as good later, but I think they kind of tired out, especially that, like, 16-play, 15-play drive, whatever it was.
Right,
but,
yeah.
But I was really impressed with the corners. You know, I thought Darius Slay and Steven Nelson, especially Nelson, like, I thought they had a great game. You know, I was impressed with those guys going up against, you know, speedy guys at times.
Well, the other thing when we talk about, like, missed opportunities on offense, I mean, Anthony Harris dropped an interception. There was that fumble.
Yeah,
we
it was just a talked tough about one. The along. Anthony Harris one was tough, but it was definitely could have been picked.
Yeah, I mean, 2 years ago, he was a franchise safety. Like, you have to make that play. And then also Steven Nelson had an interception he could have had. And I agree, he played well, but, like, he had that interception along the sidelines. Yep. So, you know, through two games, as good as the defense has been, they have not forced a turnover, and they've had multiple opportunities.
No, it's a great point, Elliot.
Three
Elliot,
today.
It's a great
so.
Point. You're right. It's an important thing. You're right. All right, a couple quick notes from me, and we'll see if you've got anything else. Quickly, we don't need to go into it too much, but very in on new punter guy. Aaron Simmons is good, man. Like, he's directionally especially. Like, the dude's good.
Yeah, I think, you know, we joked in the preseason, kind of like, we'll learn his name, you know, once it matters. And I think we might be getting close to having to learn how to pronounce his name.
I think
name
it's
because...
Aaron Sippis. I'm in. I'm learning it. All right. He's good, man. He's good.
Very bad play by McPherson, by the way.
I know. Tell me about
that. That was brutal. Yeah. But, the punter looks good.
Punter looks good. What else did I have? Oh, yeah. Let me just scan through my notes. Tell you, this is thrilling stuff on the pod as I scan through.
Well, while we're talking, the Cowboys, 2 minute warning, tied game.
Oh,
the
buddy.
Cowboys are driving.
Oh,
so.
Buddy. So let's hope for the best, prepare for the worst. I guess the last thing I have is Carson Wentz still bad and got hurt. And got hurt, Elliot. So he did not finish the game. His backup came in and threw a pick, like, immediately. I don't know if you've heard anything about the injury. Let's hope for the best for him playing, because I'm feeling good about this being a high pick if we can get the once percentage up. But, you know, it's Carson.
I mean, the good news is he still played, like, probably 95%
of
snaps
for this game,
today,
especially because the guy threw the pick, so it was a quick drive. I think he only took, like, 3 snaps. So,
yeah, you know, I don't think Carson's going to miss time. I mean, we'll see, but... I would be surprised. And look, Carson doesn't want to miss time. Like, that's an interesting dichotomy kind of, like, situation that's going on there.
You're
it's
right.
Like, Carson's extremely sensitive about missing injury time, you know? So, like, he's going to do everything he can to get out there. And they legitimately might be, like, 0-5. I mean, you know,
their Dolphins
next
lost 35-0 today, too. Like, pick watch. And Tua got hurt. We'll see what happens with that. You know, I hope he's okay, obviously, and all that. But, like, and I don't, you know, I'm not a big Tua guy anyway, but pick watch. You know, looking okay,
it's
Elliot.
Going well. Going well for them,
It's going well. All right. Before we get to your final thoughts from the day and whatever, quickly, like, just kind of looking forward now, because, you know, we'll see what happens with the Dallas game, whether they win or lose. It's going to be a massive game Monday night, and obviously we'll talk about that all week. And I think that, you know, after watching the NFCs, I think, you know, I think it's fair to say that I don't know who's going to win the division. I think Dallas is, you know, has the best quarterback right now, and I think that in my mind gives them a leg up. But I think, you know, Washington Heineke is better than I thought. You know, I think that any of those three teams, I wouldn't. Washington's defense hasn't impressed me, but you know, I think Dallas, the Eagles, and Washington, if at the end of the season it all came together for one of those teams, I wouldn't be shocked. But where do you, how do you feel about, whoop, that's my phone. How do you feel about the Eagles? I opened up the ESPN app by mistake, so I guess that was some sort of commercial. Way to go, guys.
I forgive you.
Yeah. How do you feel about the Eagles right now, kind of after, you know, the 1-1 start, the disappointing, frustrating loss today? Where are you at with the Eagles right now heading into week three in the NFC East and in general?
I mean, look, the 11 wins probably, you know, not feeling great about that, you know, but like they've played two games, and I think that it is true that a lot of their wounds have been self-inflicted. I don't think they've looked outclassed by either of these teams. I think, in my opinion, they've looked like the better team in both games, and we can argue about that with San Francisco, but like I thought they outplayed San Francisco. They just came up small in certain spots. Like, so I still think that they are the, you know, I want to say the best team in the NFC East. I think the Cowboys might actually be the best team in the NFC East. That would be like my week two reaction. And I got to say, it's a tough spot next week for them. It's a very tough spot. Home opener for the Cowboys, sold out crowd, Monday Night Football. They're playing with the Chargers. They played with the Bucks. So, you know, we'll do a preview pod, but I think it's a tough spot for the Eagles next week. Which is why they really need the Cowboys to lose this game, because then you would be tied at 1-2. You know, like none of the teams will be 2-1. So,
fingers crossed, buddy. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I mean the dream lives on.
The dream lives on. And hey, you know what? Like the Eagles didn't get blown off the field today. It was frustrating, but it was a game they could have won. Like, and I think that for a lot of people coming into the season, you know, and whether or not we could debate how good the Niners are, obviously you think they're less good than others do. But for a lot of people, I think the way they look at the Niners, they thought this was a game the Eagles probably were not going to be that competitive in, and they were competitive. They just kind of blew it. So take that for what it's worth. You got any final thoughts, E?
No, I mean, just kind of like, man, they had such a chance today just to really make a statement. You know, like being down at the link, it was crazy before the game. I will say, a lot of Niners fans there. That's, you know, weird. Just putting that out there. A lot of Niners fans. It was probably the most I've ever seen a fan base like take the stadium over.
That's like really weird.
But I thought they just blew it today. They flat out blew it. Like they win that game, they're 2-0 going into Dallas. It looks like Dallas might be, you know, whatever. We'll see what happens with this. But like they blew it, and I think it's could come back to bite them.
Yeah, it might. It might. You know. But look, big one coming up this week, and we'll talk about it a lot. And if they win this one in Dallas, you know, it's a really interesting season, three games in. So either way, you know, obviously we'll dive into it all. Were you going to say something? It sounded like you were ready to
No, sorry. So to be honest, the Cowboys, I was listening, but also this game is about 10. So I'm like, you know, seeing if we're going to be able to talk about it when it ends. But no, I agree. Look, at least they're competitive, right? I mean, I still think they're a good team. I still think they're able to win the NFC East. But, like, at least it hasn't been ugly.
Yeah. That thing's really. And look, everyone listening knows what happened in this Cowboys game. We'll find out. We don't need to tell them at the end of a.
That's a very good point. Yeah, that's why you're the pro.
All right. We'll be back later in the week. Better days ahead. I do believe that. It wasn't fun day, but not the worst day ever. There's good stuff out, I think. So, final thought is, we love you, BG, seriously. And get better. And you know, definitely a blow. But hopefully, this team can use some motivation and move forward. And hopefully the Phillies win tonight. That game just started.
Yes,
that'd be fun. The city could use it. So
keep the hopes high.
Yeah. Hey, there it is. All right. We'll be back later in the week. For Elliot and James, we'll talk to you guys soon.